Good morning. Thank the Lord for a beautiful day. I'd like to share a few thoughts that I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about. Just some exhortation. And I've heard it said that in the Christian life, there's a part for God and there's a part for us to play. God's part is enormous, but there is a part for us to play. And God, we can't do God's part, and He won't do our part. So I'd like to examine a little bit. The title I have written on my notes here is Our Little Part. And I'd like to start over in John, the 6th chapter. Pray for me. I'd like to bring this out in, by the help of the Lord, in the way that the Lord gave it to me. So it says that Jesus went up into a mountain in the 3rd verse of the 6th chapter of John. There he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So Philip did probably what just about everyone in here would do. He looked around and he said, well, there's 5,000 people here. Philip said, answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Maybe 200 pennies was what they had in their bag. I don't know. But they had a little treasury there, and they carried around a little money with them to buy stuff. And so maybe Philip counted it and said, well, we don't have enough to feed everybody. I don't know what kind of place they would have gone and got food for 5,000 people, even if they would have had the money to buy it. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And so they ate the loaves and the fishes, and they were filled. So I don't know exactly how many people were here, but it says the men sat down in number about 5,000. And I think in another place that tells the same story, it said that there were 5,000 men besides women and children. So there were a lot of people here. There could have been 10,000 or 15,000. I don't know how many people there were. But we have the input from 2 of the disciples. Philip said, and I'm just assuming that he went off of what he thought they could come up with, 200 pennies. He said, well, we don't have enough. Even if we spend everything we've got, we don't have enough to feed them. And then one of the disciples, there are four individuals in this story. There's Philip, Andrew, Jesus, and a small boy. Okay? So Andrew said, here's a boy, and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now, I don't think that Andrew went and found this boy and said, hey, come here. Because he was kind of disdainful of the amount that this boy had. This isn't really, you know, here, what I've got in my mind, if you'll give me a little bit of liberty of conjecture here, I'm guessing that this, it seems to me that the boy came and said, I would like to help. Here's my loaves and fishes. And Andrew said, will you take these to Jesus? Will you help? Will you take these to Jesus? And Andrew said, yeah, I'll take them to Jesus. And he takes them to Jesus and said, look, I told this boy that I would, this little boy wants to help. Everybody's hungry. This little boy sees they're hungry. This little boy wants to help. And he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but, you know, and just kind of laughed about it. And Jesus not only fed them, but he taught his disciples a great lesson here. And that is that Christianity is a religion of the heart. Christianity is not like other religions where you do and you do and you do. And if what you do equals or merits the results that you're going to get back, then that's what you're going to get back. Let me rephrase that. If you do enough to equal the reward, then that's the reward you're going to get. But in Jesus' religion that he came to bring to us, it's a religion of the heart. And that is that when we give all our heart, the song, I think it's number 481, says, oh, we never can know what the Lord may bestow. When our all on the altar is laid. I skipped a few words there. But all that Jesus wants is us to give him our heart in faith and full assurance that he is going to meet whatever need that we have. If we see a need and we can't fight our own battles by ourselves, we can't win our own victories by ourselves, we can't conquer our own giants by ourselves, and maybe sometimes we come and we think we don't have very much on hand for whatever occasion has arisen, but we really do. Because Jesus multiplies. If Jesus could take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, what do you think he can take the little things in our life and do? But it's not just the little things. It's all we have. Because it's all that boy had. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus took it all. If he would have had 10 loaves and 4 fishes, Jesus still would have taken it all. It's what we have that counts. It's our heart. It's what we have to give to the Lord. The Lord, it's not as though he needs it, but he wants our heart. It's not as though he needs it to make loaves and fishes, so to speak. He didn't need 5 loaves and 2 fishes to make 5,000 loaves and 5,000 fishes. He needed someone's heart. And he needs your heart and my heart this morning too. Yeah. Let's go to another scripture. I've got a little groundwork to lay down here. Mark 12 and 41. Says Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now was it possible for a rich man to do something that pleased the Lord? Or to give his all, or to give... Would it have been possible for someone that was of a higher standing in life, in a temporal sense, to come and be pleasing to the Lord with what they gave? Yes, it would have been. This widow was commended by the Lord because she gave everything that she had. I feel like that if there would have been a rich man there, they would have given the type of offering that that reflected a heart to do everything. I don't think he would have even had to give everything that he had in his bank account or sell his house and bring everything to the Lord. But if there would have been a rich man there that would have said, I love the Lord with all my heart. What can I give? You know what? I made all this in my crops. I'm just going to keep enough to feed my family, and I'm going to give the rest to the Lord. Or maybe if a rich man would have come and brought an offering and said, I want to pray. In those days, they came and inquired of the priest, ask the Lord for me what would please him. What could I do that would please him? You know, Solomon did that when he dedicated the temple, the new temple. It said that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. All he was doing, there wasn't anything magic about the number 1,000. There wasn't anything special about actually offering 1,000 animals. But Solomon was going to the greatest extent that he could to please the Lord. He was doing everything he could to please the Lord. That's what this widow woman did. And that's what the rich men that were coming were not doing. You see, maybe they were coming and writing a check for $1,000 in today's money, or $2,000 or $50,000 or whatever. But it happened to be a tiny part of what they could have given. They didn't really have a heart. What they had a heart to do, I'll tell you what they had a heart to do. They had, remember the scripture that says, when you give your alms, don't sound a trumpet before you? Well, I got to researching a little bit in that, and they didn't really have a trumpet. What they had was, they had an offering box that they would come and put their offerings in, and the offering had a long, narrow neck on it. So that people could put their offerings in, but nobody could reach down their hand and get it or something like that. But that long, narrow neck was hollow, and it made a lot of noise anyway, they would take their coins and they would throw them to make a resounding vibration. They didn't have paper money back then, and they called that sounding the trumpet because it was kind of a trumpet-shaped device on the top of the offering box. And so they would come, and the Pharisees, and they would make their money go in with as much velocity as possible so that it would broadcast what they were doing. Looky here, you can't make a noise like that. You don't have enough in your pockets. Here we go. Jesus wants our heart this morning. That's the burden that I have. We have in the world today a lot of campaigns for different things. You see things. If you type in the word awareness on Google, you can find hunger awareness. You can find poverty awareness, cancer awareness, all kinds of this and that. And you can go to sites where they'll say every little bit helps. If you go to Wikipedia, Wikipedia is an online encyclopedia that is what they call crowdsourced. If nobody wanted Wikipedia, Wikipedia wouldn't be here. But everybody inputs a little bit, and they input what they can, and every year, but it's still, even with people writing the articles for Wikipedia, they still have operational costs. They have servers and things like that. So every year, there's a certain time of year when I go to Wikipedia, and it'll have a little ad at the top, and it'll say, if everyone gave $3, if everyone today, or if everyone that's opening Wikipedia would give $3, we could take this ad off in like an hour or something like that. But they run it for days. And I don't know. It's a nonprofit, so I assume that that's how long it takes for them to come up with the money that they need. They run it until they get the money that they need. There's a difference, and community projects and things like that are good. They really are. But you know, there's an added dimension when we're doing the Lord's work. the footprint or the impact of Wikipedia is the sum of all the people that put into it. But the Lord's work is a lot different because He multiplies it. He takes it and multiplies it. You put in your heart to whatever it is. Maybe it is a community project. Maybe it's picking up trash, or maybe it... I want to tell you, I have been in community projects before and in church projects, building things for people. And the Lord worked miracle after miracle, held back the rain, caused me... I saw the Lord multiply material one time when I needed it. I've seen this with my own eyes. I have seen the Lord use the things that people gave in order to further His purpose. He doesn't need the material. He needs our heart. The way that we give our heart is that we give everything that we can give to the Lord. Does that mean we can't rest? Does that mean we can't go on vacation? Does that mean... No, it doesn't, because those things are good and they're a part of our growth. I wouldn't want to raise a family and not ever do anything enjoyable. It's all part of the balance. But it's but the Lord wants our heart. I want to get a scripture in Colossians 3 and 22. It says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So this is talking about people that aren't necessarily doing something that is just directly to the Lord. But you know, the Lord or the people in the world watch us to see how we handle things. And if they see that everything that we're doing is of a sincere heart, if everything we're doing is to further the Lord's cause, if everything that we're doing is to be an example, to grow, to help others to grow, then that is part of being a good example and a good Christian. Sometimes I like to turn this verse around too. Whatever you do for the Lord. You know, in business, I have a business, and when I operate it as far as the Lord lets me. I'm efficient with it as I can be. When I work as hard as I can. I do the very best with it I can, but sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't turn this verse around and look at it backwards in a way. If you were operating a business the same way that you live your spiritual experience, would it be profitable? I had some people that I hired one time. I've told this before. You've probably heard this before. I had some people that I hired one time, and you can get in the install business, you can get what you call temporary help, temp labor. And they'll work for not a whole lot of money, but they don't have a whole lot of skill either. Sweeping the floor is about the best you're going to get most of the time. I've had some pretty good ones, but the average is you can't expect too much. And when I hire those people, I don't expect too much. I've got other things to do besides clean up, and so I hire them for that. And unwrapping boxes. Well, one time I had some very rough general carpentry I needed done. And I needed it done. I mean, I didn't have time to do it. It needed to be done. So we scouted around and we found an agency that offered skilled laborers that were about twice the price of the regular guys, but they brought a bag of tools with them. They couldn't do the real fine stuff, but they could do rough carpentry. They had a screw gun and drill and hammer and stuff like that. And so I said, okay, I want you guys to put together these metal fixtures. It's real simple. You put a screw in here and you level this up. And so I said, this is what I need done. I need a bunch of these done. So I went, I set them going, went and worked for a while. Then I came back and checked on them. They're over here sweeping the floor. And I said, what are y'all doing? Well, we ran out of work. I said, well, I don't need the floor swept. Well, yeah, you do. It's dirty. Yeah, but it's fixing to be a lot dirtier. I want to, I've got this that I need to happen. This is my goal, you see. This is my, I'm trying to install this place, and I've got a deadline. This is my goal. And so the reason that you all are here is to fill your place in this goal, okay? I didn't say all those words, but I tried to communicate to them. I had things I needed. And every time I turned around, they're sweeping the floor because it was easy. Maybe they'd run out of work, and they did really run out of work, but I said, you come get me. You run out of work, you come get me. Maybe they would stop in the middle of it because they didn't understand how to do it. I said, well, if you come get me, I'll work you through it. We'll get it done. I've got a goal here. I've got a cause. I want you, if you're going to come work for me, I want you to be aligned with my cause, you see. And finally, about lunchtime, I said, all right, I'm sorry, but this isn't working. You guys can go on your way. One of them got mad. He said, this is ridiculous. We've just been here 4 hours. I said, yeah, but I need some stuff done. And it's not getting done. Well, we've been busy the whole time. And I said, I need a different kind of busy than that. I don't remember what all I told him exactly. But if our Christian life was a business, you see, we're in business for the Lord this morning. And the Lord has goals, and the Lord has a cause. No, we can't. We can't further the Lord's cause all by ourselves. But the Lord wants people. This is how the Lord works in the world today. He uses people to help other people. He uses money to help other people. He uses people's time to be able to further His cause. He uses men and women to preach and teach His word. He uses people of understanding so that it says that to him that has shall be given. If you go and you just go through life and you go and your business is just trying to get more money or to get all set up or to have comfort in life or to see how much time you can have to do fun stuff. You're not going to be, the Lord has got things for you that He's not going to give you, because the very first thing you've got to have is a heart to serve the Lord. Yes. Somebody that has understanding, the Lord's going to give more understanding to. And if you get down to the end of the way and you say, well, you know what? I didn't do this and this and this because I never understood. I never understood why I was supposed to do it, and I never understood it was wrong. Did you know that the Lord wants a seeking heart first? The Lord didn't just come to Samuel at the very beginning and say, this is everything I want you to do. He started calling his name, Samuel. You going to answer me, Samuel? Samuel. And he didn't even reveal to Samuel that it was him at first. Samuel had to go check it out. Then when Eli said, this is the Lord, Samuel came and said, "What, Lord, you know he had a choice. He could have said, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to hear from the Lord. I'm sleepy. I'm too young. Jeremiah kind of tried that. He said, I'm a child. And the Lord said, no, don't say I'm a child. You might be a child, but if I put my spirit in you, whatever you can give, I'm going to multiply. We can look around us today and we can be really discouraged at the little that we think that we have to offer. But if we offer it all of our any abilities we think we might have, the Lord multiplies those kind of things. He multiplies people's efforts in a community. He multiplies people's gifts. He multiplies their talents. He made a speaker out of Moses, He probably, I'm thinking he would have done a lot more, but Moses said, no, I can't do it. And then he said, okay, well, fine, I'm going to send Aaron with you. And it said his anger was kindled against Moses. You think Moses was really a good speaker? No, he wasn't. He wasn't a good speaker. But all the Lord wanted Moses to do was say, you know what, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. You're going to have to help me, but I'll do it. And the Lord would have supplied and multiplied and just turned that. And he did. He did do a lot with Moses, but I think he could have done more. I remember in the early years of our marriage, I've been married 11 and a half years almost. And in the early years of our marriage, I handled the finances, and I pretty much handled our... we had things that we were trying to get done. We flipped a couple houses, and we were trying to kind of get set up. And I was trying to start a business, and it just seemed like money was always tight. Oh, money was just always so tight. And we could. I remember one time emptying out the change jar to make the house payment. And we, and it seemed like that nothing would work right. Things broke. I remember one, I think in 1 week, my AC went out, my water heater quit, maybe my dryer. There's like three or four things that quit all in a row. And it seemed like I could not get ahead. I'd work more hours and I'd make more money and then I'd spend it all. And every time that there was something to give to, if the church was trying to do something or buy a new mission van for another country or something, or there was somewhere to give some time, something that needed to be built, I never could because I didn't have time and I couldn't afford it. And I'd say, you know what? God knows my heart. God knows my heart. The Lord knows I want to serve Him, and I want to give everything to Him, and I'm trying to give what I can, but the Lord knows I need to get all set up, and the Lord knows I need to provide. The Lord said, if you don't provide for your own house, you're worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith. And so I would just go on, and I would set money aside, and I'd say, this is the Lord's money. I'm going to give this to the Lord. And I did. I did give some to the Lord. My wife didn't really know about all this. So this is a really embarrassing and shameful story. But my wife didn't really know what was going on, and I didn't tell her. And things would come up, and that money that I had set aside, maybe I'd dip into it and take about half of it out and say, I'm going to put it back because I've got to. And things just did not work. One day, the Lord started dealing with me. I was at camp meeting. The Lord started dealing with me, and I went down to the altar, and a minister came and prayed with me. And I said, I don't know what's going on. Nothing's working right. Everything is just tanking in my life. And I don't know. And I don't have time. I don't have time to work for the Lord. And I want to work for the Lord, but I just don't have time. And I don't have time to get. And I can't give hardly any money to the Lord because we can't afford it. Nothing's working right. So he started asking me questions. And finally he said, you know what? I'm going to tell you what's happening. The Lord's blowing on your life because you're not giving. You want to serve the Lord, but you want to do other stuff more. And so I got to thinking about it. I thought, you know what? There's been lots of times where I thought I didn't have money to give, but I would take, we would go out to eat and we would buy this and we would, and I didn't really manage my money very good. And I would take care of our family's wants, not just needs. And we would get this and this and this. I don't want this to come across imbalanced in that we feel like we can't do anything extra but the Lord wants us to give Him our hearts. And that's what I wasn't doing. And so there's a scripture, we won't turn there, but it's in Haggai, the second chapter. And he said, the Lord was saying, or in the first chapter, he said, is it time for you to dwell in your finished houses and my house lie waste? Is it time to get yourself all set up? He said, you're working. The Lord said, you're working and you're working and you're bringing home stuff, but you put on a coat, but you're still cold. You work, but you earn wages. You bring it home in a bag that's full of holes because I'm blowing on it. I want my work to be done. You know, today the Lord's goal, the Lord's cause is very important this morning. And we can say, we can do this with many areas of our life. We can say, God knows my heart. God knows my heart. He knows I want to please Him, but I can't do it because I got to do this over here. God knows my heart and He knows I don't want to do this over here, but I just have to. You know what? We might want to do something for the Lord. And it might be true that we really want to do something. But we need to check our affections because we might want to do something else more. I hope that makes sense. God does know our heart. I want to talk a little bit about our relationships and our worship to the Lord. James, you know what? I want to get a scripture in Proverbs 11 first. 11 and 24, he says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Folks, my burden this morning is that we give the Lord our hearts, everything that we have. That doesn't mean that we have to bring, that we have to spend all of our time working at the church. It doesn't mean that we have to give all of our money, but we need to make everything available to the Lord. All of our time. Say, Lord, you know the Lord's not going to take advantage of us and say, I'm going to be ruthless. You give me all your time and I'm going to take it. I'm not going to let you have any time to rest. I'm not going to let you have any time to go fishing or whatever it is that you like to do. You know, the Lord has plenty of wholesome, good, enjoyable things for us in life. The scripture says that He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Ecclesiastes, the writer says, to be joyful, to live a joyful and happy life. But then it says, know this, that for all these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. All that it's talking about is to make our lives and our hearts available and open, no limits, where the Lord has 100% of our heart, where if He asks for something, we will give it. Yes. So let's go to James 5 and 16. I want to talk about giving our hearts in worship to the Lord. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, isn't that an interesting way of putting that? Pray one for another that ye may be healed. Well, we know that the Lord uses prayer to accomplish His purpose. Jesus said, don't you know that there's some of this back in that room. Jesus said, don't you know that the Lord already knows what you need before you ask? So why would we pray? Because the Lord wants us to pray. The Lord wants us to pour out our hearts to Him. The Lord wants us, He wants to be our God and He wants us to be His people. That means that He wants our hearts. And so it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one for another that ye may be healed. That doesn't mean that healing comes from us or that we're responsible for the healing. But everything works together in that through our prayers, through our fervency, through our actions, we can be instrumental in the Lord healing each other. It says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then I won't turn to it, but in Galatians it says, bear ye one of another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think about the community of Christians. You know who makes up the church of God? Is it this building? Is it our group? No, the church of God is every blood-washed one, everyone that has come and washed and been made clean in the blood of the Lamb is part of the Lord's church. And it says to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I just want to ask us a question this morning. Have you ever had a need? You ever had a need and you put out a prayer request and then you wonder, I wonder if anybody's praying for me. I wonder if anybody's... And I tell you what, I've seen this before where there will be a great need. Someone will have a great need in the body of Christ. And somebody else will say, all right, let's send out a Facebook message or an email chain and we're going to set aside this day and anybody that wants to can fast on this day for this person. I've seen the Lord work in times like that. I remember one time someone called me up and said, I want you to fast with me for something. He had a great request, an urgent need. And he said, I want you to be my fasting partner. So I said, okay, how are we gonna do this? Because we both had to work. And we finally agreed we're gonna skip our lunches. So we started doing that. We did it for about 6 weeks. And you know, I saw the Lord work in a way that I didn't expect it to work like that. Let's just put it that way. It worked in a way that was so great. I didn't have any clue that things would break loose like they did. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So how... You know, the Lord has the power to help all these people anyway, but He wants to use us because He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. So do we, I want us to ask ourselves, do we bear other people's burdens like we want them to bear our burdens? If somebody calls for prayer, how are we going to handle that? Do we care about them? Are we going to get together and pray? And sometimes we can't get together, but are we going to go have prayer for them? Are we going to do anything to seek the Lord for them? Do we care about their soul? Do we care about their needs in their body? It says, I want to read a couple scriptures here. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that the Father wants to hear from us. And He wants us to be bound together in agreement. Did you know that it seems like that we kind of have a general order to our worship service. You know that just about, I would say, every element that's in our worship service, we could say, well, we do it this way. We try to do it. And sometimes it gets switched up somewhat. But we try to do it in a certain way. You know there's a reason for a lot of the things we do. We don't have, if you come to service this morning and you're looking for a program to be delivered to you, that you're going to be entertained and you're going to come away and think, wow, they put on a good performance. We don't have that for you this morning. I'm going to tell you what we have here. We have people that gather together in the name of Jesus. And we come and it says, why do we open our services with singing? Because the scripture says to come before his presence with singing. It says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So if we come together and we all sing songs, does that mean we're praising the Lord? No, it doesn't. Because we might just sing them mechanically and never think about it. Listen, I've been guilty of that too. But the goal is not to come and sing. The goal is not to come and have harmony. Musical harmony. The goal is, there are some people that can't even carry a tune. So are they exempt from practicing this scripture? If you don't know how to sing, does that mean that there's no way that you can fulfill or do what the Lord wants? To come before His presence, enter into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise? No! It doesn't mean that. Everybody, maybe a group of people could get together and not one of them could carry a tune. So maybe they'll do something besides sing. Maybe they'll take turns reading scriptures or expressing their thoughts. There is something about singing. I feel like it's a gift that the Lord has given to the human race. Or we can come and we can take lyrics and we can join them with music and it stirs something down deep in your hearts. A song ever stirred you? Does a song, you can read it. But then when you sing it, maybe you can't carry a tune. Maybe you don't. I know people that don't even sing in service. But I can tell that the songs move them. And they sit there listening. And they're giving praise to God. Because that's the goal. When we all sit here, we all come and we worship the Lord collectively. That is why I know that we've had the coronavirus pandemic and all that. And so for a while we would maybe get online and listen to a message, listen to the preacher. Do you know there is something extremely beneficial to coming together and all of us lifting up our hearts to the Lord together, whether you're actively singing or not, but there is something to praising and thanking the Lord and giving Him honor to His name, whether you do it silently in your heart or whether you're the one of those kinds that just make the benches vibrate. And you, there, people do it all different ways. I don't do it the way a lot of other people do it. I praise the Lord, but that, for me personally, that doesn't mean saying amen all the time. It doesn't mean, but in my heart, I praise the Lord. In our hearts, we praise the Lord. And isn't that what the Lord wants? He wants our heart. And so when we all come together, the Lord wants us to praise and thank Him in fellowship with one another. Actually, that's backwards. We come, and if our hearts are in fellowship with the Lord, then it says we're in fellowship with one another. Automatically, that's why we don't keep a physical membership role. Because we feel like that every single person that is part of the church of God, every single person that's saved is already part of the church of God. Every Christian, every blood-washed one is part of the church of God. But we can come and sit in this building, and we can know all the songs by heart, and we can sing them and sing all the notes perfectly, but still not be part of the church of God. It's because Christianity is a religion of the heart. Everything that is within, what were we talking about a while ago in Psalm before prayer? Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. That's the kind of heart that the Lord wants us to bring to our worship services. He doesn't really care how pretty of a voice we have. He doesn't care how many of the songs we know by heart. He doesn't really care about all that kind of stuff. What He cares about is that we be in fellowship with Him, with the body of Christ, and that when we come, we lift our voices, or our hearts rather, as a gift to the Lord. That's our part in the worship service. The Lord has His part. It's called the anointing. When we come away and we say, that's an anointed worship service, that means that the Lord put His part into it and we can feel it. The blessing of the Lord, it makes us happy. It makes us content. It makes us where we don't want to go anywhere else and get any other. We don't want to drink from any other fountain because we're drinking from the fountain of the Lord. That's the Lord's part. But my burden this morning is our part. So we sing. And then what do? We pray. Notice I said we pray. Okay? Sometimes I think that we can get in this mindset, oh, who's going to pray? Who's going to let somebody just pray and get it over with so we can get on with the next part of the service? Do you know that we come together and we pray? Well, the most convenient way to do that is that maybe one person will lead out in prayer with a burden for the different needs that have been expressed. But then the rest of us have a responsibility to join our hearts. Whether people hear us or not, we don't have to shout amen at the end of every sentence or please Lord or how, whatever you want to do. You can do it in your heart if you want to, but the point is that when we come, the disciples, when they met in the upper room, it said that they were all in one accord. They were lifting up, and when they came to appoint another apostle in Judas's place, and they chose Matthias, they laid out the lots there on the altar, and then it says they lifted up their voices and said, oh Lord, you know which one. It says that when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So I want us to go back to the question I asked a while ago. If we were running a business the same way that we live for the Lord, would our business be profitable? I'm going to ask another question. If everyone in the body of Christ put the same amount of effort into it that you're putting into it, where would it go? What would get done? Are we coming and just kind of riding on everybody else's coattails? And do you know? Okay, let me read a scripture to bring this out. Or maybe I'll just tell the story because it's a lot of reading. We all know the story about the man. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like someone who went and he called his 10 servants together and he gave each of them a talent or a pound, a unit of money. And he said, I want you to occupy this till I come. Well, as we learn from the latter part of that story, occupy does not mean to put it to dig in the ground and hide it. It means to do something with it. So they all went, and one of them came back and he said, you gave me a pound, I've got 10 back for you. And he said, well done. The other guy said, you gave me the same amount. You gave me a pound. I have 5 pounds for you. Do you know the Lord didn't compare him to the other one and didn't say, you didn't do as much as that one did. They gave their hearts. It says that he gave the talents to them according to their abilities. And the Lord is going to give gifts to you and I. You're not going to have the same gift as I do, and I'm not going to have the same gift as you do. And sometimes we can look at each other and we can think, well, he can give more than I can give. We all have a heart, don't we? If we give our heart, we're all given the same amount. The one that did not receive any kind of approval from the Lord was the one that came back. And I want you to notice that he did not come back and say, robbers came in my house and stole the pound you gave me. I'm sorry, I tried to keep it, but it's gone. He came and said, here it is. I kept it safe. I didn't do anything. It's not tarnished. I took it out and I polished it. I'm adding a few words here. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't do anything with it. But you know, he could have said, look, The three of us came back. Maybe, well, I wonder if he had a little inkling of what was going to happen on the day of reckoning. I wonder if, and this is just my conjecture here, but I wonder if he got the rest of the guys together and said, look, how many pounds did you turn yours into? Well, 10. Well, how about you? Well, I did 5. Okay, so between the three of us, we have 16 pounds. That's an average of 5 1/3 pounds. Okay? We did pretty good. Let's go to him and, as a group, and say, we are your servants, and we've made this much for you. You know, I think a lot of times that we can kind of ride on the average, so to speak. And we can let other people give. And we can think, oh, well, he did that. Well, that means I don't have to do anything. So I'm going to do this over here. Hopefully somebody's here that can do this. Because, oh, good. Now that's taken care of. There are things that the Lord has for each one of us to do. Yes. We don't know what they are. But I just want to insert another little note here. Do you know that some people say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, so I'm not going to do anything. I don't know where the Lord wants me to give, so I'm not going to give anything until the Lord shows. If He wants me to know, do you know there's a scripture that says, as ye therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. If we have a heart, if we really have a heart to serve the Lord, we're going to do that anyway. I'm glad that scripture is in there. But I don't think we necessarily need that scripture for it to be common sense. If you see a need, if you see your brother has need, well, the Lord didn't tell me to pray for him. Well, do they need to be prayed for? I'm saying that if the Lord put our brothers and sisters here on this earth, and if we are part of the way that the Lord works, then we can come like that little boy and we can say, look, I don't have much to offer. There's 5,000 people here and all I've got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but I know I have faith that the Lord can multiply it. Here it is. That's all I've got. And the Lord will take it and He'll multiply it and He'll do all kinds of things that we can't even begin to imagine if we will just come and we'll put our heart into whatever we're doing. It was Brother Paul Frazier. Maybe some of you would remember him. He lived in Miami, Florida, and part of the time he lived in Honduras. And I saw him. I would usually see him when I went to Honduras. And when I would go to Honduras on mission trips and stuff, he was a great blessing to the congregation. When it would be time to pray, he would pour his heart out, and it was like that the anointing would just come down. He would pray with such fervor and with such earnestness. And one day he had this to say. He said, a few years ago, he said, I'm the quiet type. And a few years ago, he said, I was just discontented. I would come to church and it seemed like that it was so dead and so dry. And he said, I was complaining to the Lord about why. Why is it so dead and so dry? Do you know that? You know who the church of God is? It's us. We are His building. We are the church of God. And the Lord spoke to Brother Paul and said, don't let it be dry then. And he changed and he was so different. And you know, he just lit up those services. And they were so good and so blessed. And he would bring some of the best thoughts. It wasn't his. The Lord wanted him to give his heart so that he could take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes that Brother Paul had to offer and turn it into something that would feed every person there. So, I hope that you all can can get this in the spirit that I'm meaning to give it. I'm not trying to get on to anybody here, but I would like to encourage us. If we think it's dry, let's not let it be dry. If we want to see things happen, then let's give what we've got, even if it's just a little bit. The Lord can multiply it. The Lord wants to use every one of us. We can't begin to realize the extent to which God can use us if all we do is give our heart. You pray for me.